Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I made an appearance. I committed podultry. You know what I mean? And podultry, of course, is, you know, is like adultery, but just, you know,
it's a cardinal sin.
It's a cardinal sin. It's like you cheat. Now, I know you guys understand this because the two of you commit podultry. Like, you guys are swingers.
Yes.
Is
every
what
other
you guys
hour.
Are. 1,000%. Yes. You're over on Sims and Brother from Another.
It's like 1969, doing, listening to the White Album.
You're at, what's Club, it's not Club 69, what is it?
Definitely not Club 69.
City of 64, that was it. Thank you very much. Because you're all over the place every other podcast. God forbid you ever spend any time on the actual show that pays
you. Loose morals.
Yeah, very loose morals. Very loose morals.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with two frequenters of Club 69, Lawrence Jackson and Mr. Berry, as he's known.
Listen, here's what happens. I just want the viewers to know what happens. Connor Rogers, Jay Croucher, and Lawrence Jackson, what happens? They come to NBC and they throw their keys in the bowl. It's like another key party, and like all the producers come by and they pick out keys, and then you find out what show you guys are going on as well. Lawrence Jackson is a massive podulterer. If you follow him on, if you follow at Lord Don't Lose on any form of social media, and I highly recommend it, you see all the clips of all the shows he does that aren't us.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's out there. He's throwing it around.
That's why I'm back today, so I could re-up on these Fantasy Football Happy Hour clips, but I don't know what type of clubs you be going to, though. I don't know nothing about no Club 69, nothing. I don't know.
Do we want to address the Detroit Tigers hat?
Yeah, I was just asking you off camera, you know, are they a good team? So, you know, you told me they was a 500 type of team, right? So when the Detroit Tigers start to make that push, you said they got a lot of good young players,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're on the
rise. All right, so I'll break out the traditional Detroit hat when they're actually good. Then I can hop on that bandwagon properly because you know that's what I do in baseball.
Yeah. All right, well, yes. We'll try not to talk about Tariq Skubal and Spencer Torkelson and stick to football.
As far as I know, you made those names up.
Yeah, what he said.
But happy opening day to those who celebrate.
Yes, sir. Indeed.
By the way, you might think, oh, hey, is that who drinks free today? You know, opening day. Absolutely not. I'll tell you who drinks free today, and I just want to call attention to it right now. It's producer Steven and his lovely fiance Christy.
Yes.
Even lovelier than a producer Steven. They're getting married next week.
Yes.
In Orlando. Mm. I believe at Universal Studios. I think just below the Hulk ride.
Is like literally in there.
Yeah, like in there. Yeah. Somewhere between the Spider-Man ride and the Hulk ride, I think, yeah.
And how many of us will be in attendance?
Absolutely none.
Yes.
No, yeah, I made the cut.
None of us made the cut. Producer Steven was like, Christy and I want, you know, our loved ones, you know, not the people we're contractually obligated to deal with. Not one person made the cut.
Well, maybe we'll make it through his next wedding.
Exactly. Wedding number two. That's what we're working on. But hey, anyway, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes,
Christy.
Yes.
Steven, Christy. Eternal
welcome to the club.
Absolutely. Yes. So, producer Steven.
Club marriage as opposed to Club 69.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Very important. Yeah. Happy nuptials to the lovely couple. Yep. We can't wait to next time we see producer Steven, he'll be a married man.
Yep. Connor Rogers isn't here, by the way. He is out, so I'll be.
He might be going to the wedding. I wonder if he made the cut.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's not here.
He low key, like, that's where he going right
now.
Planning his trip to Florida. Yeah, well, he'll be back at some point, we think. But we got a lot to get through today. We're gonna get to your way too early rankings, Matthew. Yep. We'll go through The Roto World player news, some news affecting my man Najee Harris,
sure,
Patterson and co, and then we'll get to your free agency reactions because we haven't spoken to you in a little while. But let's start off with your way too early rankings.
Yeah, Matthew. I mean, and the rankings have been out. I mean, they came out right after the season, but I think we actually published them like before the season ended. But you know, now that free agency, kind of the dust has settled, if you will, on free agency, and we have a pretty good sense of where most people are going to land. We're still waiting, obviously, for the NFL draft. There's a few people that are out there that we'll get to. But, you know, so this is an updated way too early top 50 2024 rankings, of course, available for free. RotoWorld.com, NBCSports.com. I am a company man.
Okay. Well,
so what jumped out to you, Jay?
Well, let's take a look at the top 10 straight away. No surprise, Christian McCaffrey. He is number one, I think probably in a tier by himself at this point. And then you have familiar wide receiver superstar names, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Breece Hall, RB2, and Bijan Robinson, RB3. We'll get into that. Your ride or die, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I want to mention and go into a bit more depth. And then Kyren Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs, they round out the top 10. Was there any thought about having anyone but Christian McCaffrey at number one?
Yeah, you know what, honestly, like, I thought about it for a little bit just because, hey, you know, like he's like, I think 28 now, right? And he's had massive usage. He's been fairly healthy the last 2 years, but like, are you pushing your luck a little bit? And given, you know, the point of number one isn't that they have to finish as the number one player in fantasy. The idea is that this is the player that is likely the safest, right? I mean, like I always say, you can't lose your league in the first round. You can't win your league in the first round. You can lose it. And so you need to nail that first round pick. You need high level production. And so who's kind of the safest guy that's going to give you high level production? Now, we saw that last year with Justin Jefferson. Now, there's the argument for Justin Jefferson last year. And obviously that didn't happen because he ends up getting injured for a lot of the year. So I did have that thought process, like, am I pressing my luck with a running back here at number one? But ultimately, he's just too good, because when he's right, when he is healthy, Christian McCaffrey is not only the best running back or best player in fantasy, he's the best player in fantasy by a pretty good margin, right, as well. I mean, he is somebody that he had 122 more points than any other running back through week 17 last year, averaging over 24 fantasy points per game. And so just that kind of production and getting that kind of the difference between him and number two is just such a massive advantage at a position that's tough in fantasy to begin with. To me, yeah, it's just, you know, the Niners return almost everyone. Yeah. The offense is back the same.
And just one more quick thing about him. You asked, may we be pushing our luck with him being that he's 28? Well, if you watch that Super Bowl he just played, they gave him 22 carries, another seven or so receptions. So, and it wasn't like it took him 22 carries to get the 80 yards. So they're saying, we're gonna give you the ball. We're gonna do it until it works. So that's their guy. And just based off of that last game, I don't see how it could be anybody else at number one besides CMC.
Yeah. 339 touches last year. That led all running backs. And there's kind of that rule of, you know, hey, you know, running backs coming off that kind of workload. But the other thing, Jay, is like, the guy missed almost two full years. Like, he's not as workhorse heavy as some other running backs at his age, because he literally did miss almost 2 years of work. Does that make any sense? Like, there's not as much tread on the tire.
Sure. Definitely makes sense.
Yeah. Also, not like he was adding playoff games in Carolina most of those years, too. I think the good thing with McCaffrey is that his running back value isn't nearly as tied to his offensive line play as others are. Like, we saw that Tennessee's offensive line just completely tanked Derrick Henry for stretches of the season. That's not going to happen with McCaffrey because of his value as a receiver, and also just because of the spacing that passing offense provides him as well. I think the red flags are, one, he's just a running back. There's just more attrition there. Two, he's a little dependent on these big runs early in the season. And then three, I don't think he's going to be scoring touchdowns every single game like he was for a stretch. But at the same time, even with those demerits, I still think he is clearly
he may
the number
not need
one
it.
Guy. He has some crazy stat, and my guy Ian Harditz always puts this out every game, but like, he's had like 100 yards or a touchdown in like every single game for like four straight years.
That's
or
crazy.
Something like
that.
It's like some
crazy.
Sort of it's some sort of crazy stat like that, and I don't have it exactly, and maybe someone can find it for me and get into my ear about it. But anyway, it's a bunch of numbers that tell you what you already know. Chris McCaffrey is just an awesome human being when it comes to fantasy football. He's a stud. I've never met him in person. I'm sure he's lovely as well as a human being.
Yeah. But just odds on to
fantasy,
be lovely.
Fantasy football, why? I've interviewed him, but just over Zoom. I've never met him in person. But he was lovely on the interview,
and
he puts up massive fantasy points. He's the number one. I think he will be. I haven't looked around the industry, but I would be shocked if he is not the consensus number one across the fantasy football industry.
Yeah, I think he has to be. All right, let's talk about some of these wide receivers, focusing in on CD Lamb, who's number three. What was the thought process, Matthew, in putting CD ahead of Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson?
My guy, Eight. You know, I call him Eight. His friends call him Eight.
Correct.
Well, first off, he was the number one wide receiver in fantasy last year, right? I mean, so you could make an argument that he should be even ahead of Tyreek Hill. 135 receptions, basically a 30% target share. And you look at what the Dallas offense has done this offseason, and the answer is nothing, right? I mean, they let Michael Gallup go. They let Tony Pollard go. We'll see what happens in the draft. But if anything, there's less competition for CeeDee Lamb, who had this 30% target share last year,
right,
than there was, you know, going into last year. So it feels like to me that, you know, he's going to continue to be a massive focal point for Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy on this offense. He's young, and he's been pretty injury free. Like, again, he had that massive second half. If there's one small thing that you want to nitpick on, it took him a while fantasy wise at the beginning of the year because he wasn't scoring touchdowns and that kind of stuff. But anyway, so to me, I think given the concerns on, and again, at this level, you sort of have to really nitpick, right? But given the fact that Jamar Chase, we don't know what Burrow's going to look like, right? And at the moment, T. Higgins is there. Justin Jefferson, who knows with the quarterback situation there. So for me, again, if I'm going to draft with you and you take Jamar Chase over CeeDee Lamb, I'm not looking at you weird. I totally get it, right? But, I think there are less question marks. They're all superstars, but at this level, you have to nitpick. There are less question marks about CeeDee Lamb than there are a couple of the guys behind him.
Yeah,
and again, the question marks are this small, but...
Yeah, and what fantasy managers should understand, too, is when you get to ranking these top 5 to 10 guys at these positions, they're all going to be closer to the same thing. Matthew, I did a three-round mock draft in January.
And,
Bragger. Yeah, a little something.
I
also had CeeDee Lamb coming off the board as the second wide receiver. But again, if, you know, you take Jamar Chase or, you know, you take Justin Jefferson, if you think his talent will outshine whatever quarterback they end up with, if it's not Sam Darnold, we not mad at you for that. If they're ranked 2, 3, 4, you know, it's all the same, you know, type of talent level. With that being said, I just want to go back real quick to the running backs. You mentioned Christian McCaffrey scoring 122 more fantasy points than all other running backs.
Yes, sir.
Through week 17. The guy second on that list was Breece Hall.
Yep.
And that's a guy I think we like a lot coming into this season as well. He's another guy, ended the season well, at least 26 fantasy points in 4 of his last 5 games, including that 43-point outburst in the fantasy playoffs. They haven't and they won't add anybody of significance behind him in that room. So getting Aaron Rodgers back, now they got Mike Williams. It's looking like a regular offense now. So we saw what he was able to do with whatever they was doing on offense this past season. I think he's one of the guys that, along with Kyren Williams, who could challenge CMC for that RB1 spot.
Yep, Breece Hall. And I think the good thing with him is just the workload he got at the end of the season. What, did he get 37 carries against the Patriots or something in the final game? His knee is all the way back. And to your point, Lawrence, he's going to play in a real offense this year with a quarterback who can actually relieve the 8-man boxes that he'd otherwise be seeing. He's 30-1 to an offensive player of the year, which I think is too big. You always defer to a guy who's in New York as well. If Breece Hall is the most deserving candidate, he will win that award because he plays in New York. He'll get all the attention. So I think Breece...
And he will have a better offense. In addition to having just a better offense around him, specifically, he'll have a better offensive line.
Yep.
I mean, again, he was facing 8-man boxes behind one of the worst offensive lines in football and, you know, getting these dink... But still, massive workload and being able to produce. So another year removed from the injury, you know, we expect hopefully Rodgers to be healthy. Adding Mike Williams, to your point, better offensive line. He should have a monster year again. He's my number two wide receiver.
Just
number
quickly
two
on,
back, I'm sorry.
Just going back quickly to CD versus Jamar Chase, I think what people sometimes don't just feel enough is the fact that, one of these guys plays in a dome and the other guy plays outdoors in cold climates. Like, yeah. It's a massive shift that Dallas plays in a dome, and also that he plays, CeeDee Lamb plays in the NFC East. Against an Eagles defense that really struggled last year, Commanders, Giants defenses aren't terrifying.
Nope.
Meanwhile, Ja'Marr Chase has got to play six games against the Baltimore, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh defenses. They all project as top 10 defenses, and it's cold. It's cold in all those cities. So I think that hurts. Also, Joe Burrow, I think he'll probably enter the season fine. He's just a more injury-prone player than Dak Prescott because he gets sacked so much more. And he's got to go up against those pass rushers in that division. So that's why I'd have CD over Ja'Marr as well. Let's talk about Kyren Williams, Lawrence. What are your expectations for him after, you know, breakout player of the year? Arguably, he's number 9 in Matthew's rankings, sandwiched in between two Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs. What are your expectations for
Kyren? And I have Bijan ahead of him, so he's my number 4 running back, number 9 overall. Lawrence, is that where you have him? You have him higher, lower? Where are you at Kyren? Where are you with Kyren this year?
Yeah, like I was saying just a minute ago, like how we, like I have him at running back 2. Okay. Again, because he, and I got Breece Hall at 3, Bijan at 5. again, the Rams, they didn't add anybody in free agency of significance. They still got the same guys behind them, Zach Evans, Ronnie Rivers. I don't think anybody's in the draft that's going to come and take his spot, and they're using this guy like they did Todd Gurley a few years back. Like, it took 1 week of Cam Akers getting 22 carries for 29 yards for them to say, all right, we need to make a move. We need to make let this young guy do his thing. And if he didn't miss those 4.5 games, he was going to lead the league in rushing. He still ended up as a top running back in fantasy football despite that. So it was worth keeping him on your redraft rosters into the playoffs because he showed out then too. But I think Sean McVay believes in this guy. That was clear all the way throughout the playoffs. So I expect him, Christian McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, all of those guys to be right there.
We're in a league where there aren't that many workhorse running backs, and it's super weird when you look at Kyren Williams. You're like, well, that guy's not built like a workhorse running back, but in theory, neither is Christian McCaffrey. We talked a little bit earlier, Christian McCaffrey, 339 touches, led all NFL running backs. Okay, that works out to 21.2 touches per game. Kyren Williams averaged 21.7 touches per game. He actually averaged more touches per game. It's half of a touch, but whatever. He averaged more touches per game than Christian McCaffrey, but you mentioned it. The total numbers aren't there because of the 4.5 missed games, but he gets such massive workload. They improved their offensive line this offseason. The Rams did, adding the two guards as well. And so to your point, like Zach Evans couldn't even get on the field last year.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, like when he went down, they were like, oh, hey, Royce Freeman.
They brought back Darrell Henderson a couple weeks.
Like they have no, you know, Ronnie Rivers, great.
Solid backup.
Yeah.
Give him a breather sometime.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, he's the lead running back getting a massive workload on one of the better offenses in the NFL. And so, you know, he comes in at number 9. He's running back 4.
This begs the question, if we're in that first round, and then we'll talk about the other running backs in your 11 through 20, what do you feel about making sure you get, like, could you see fantasy drafts going on these running back runs, knowing, because we'll go into drafts knowing which running backs are the ones who are going to get those 20 touches per game. So could you see guys like Ja'Marr Chase fall back a little bit, you know, for those running backs that we know can get those 18 to 22 touches?
I think the opposite will happen. I think because last year, one of my big draft strategies was just basically, like we talked about this on the in the preseason the entire time, Lawrence, and you were with me, Jay, you and Connor, we all talked about this. We're just basically, you know, in that the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round, there were all these guys that were going to get what we called cheap volume.
Right.
And like, now, we thought it was going to be Cam Akers, not Kyren Williams, but we talked about, you know, we talked about the James Conners of the world, you know, that guys like that just sort of that we're going to get, you know, kind of this David Montgomery was another one that was kind of the poster child.
James Cook.
We're just like, no, I know you don't like it and you're worried about it, but these are guys that are going to get, like, you're going to be able to get cheap volume, like 15 touches a game out of these guys that you can draft like in the 6th round. And I think that's going to be the same case again this year. There will be guys like, again, you see Gibbs, I have Gibbs higher, but like, it's not like David Montgomery's not going to score double digit touchdowns this year. You know what I mean? Like, James Conner, once again, will have, like, I might, we're going to get there, but I'm with Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh. I'm actually back in on Najee and Jalen Warren.
Yes.
Like, no, no, not because no one's going to like them. Where they're going to be drafted is going to be so low, and those guys are both going to touch the ball 15 times a game. Yeah. You know, they're not going to let Russ throw it. And like, so my point is like, I think there are, I think what will happen is because of last year, because there was such success of, you know, non-big name running backs, that I think you will. Gus Edwards is another guy that's going to go way too low in
see,
drafts.
My thinking was, will that switch? People trying to find that receiver instead.
No,
but
I
it's harder to do that.
I think it will be a lot of zero RB. That will be an even more popular draft strategy. Again, we got a long way to go till August, but I just feel like that's going to be – people are going to want to go wide – you'll be more likely to see in drafts people go wide receiver – than running back, which used to be the norm.
Yep. Yeah. Before we move out of the top 10, just quickly, Matthew, your ride or die, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Just a quick note on him. He plays 14 games in domes next season, which is huge and really important. Also, just love with Amon-Ra, just for his floor, the fact that he plays in the slot so much, I just think is so key, where he's got that Cooper Kupp, Michael Thomas thing where, okay, well, if Sauce Gardner or L'Jarius Sneed is at whatever, you just move him around. You can get off of the harder matchups because he is so versatile. And I just think that with playing so many games in domes, he's not going to have these Jamar Chase games in like frigid conditions in Baltimore or whatever.
Well, by the way, not only is he playing a bunch of games in domes, but you know who else is playing a bunch of games in domes? Jared Goff.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. Like Jared Goff in a dome is great. And so when Jared Goff has time and is in a dome, he's as good as any quarterback in the NFL. I'm not saying he's Mahomes, but I'm just saying, like, for our purposes, can he get the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown? Can he get the ball to Sam Laporta? Can he lead drives down to get them in scoring position? And the answer is yes.
Yes, he
can. Jared Goff is an above-average quarterback, and I would argue he is borderline elite when he is indoors and the offensive line has given him time to block. Again, that was one of the brilliance of the Detroit Lions' postseason run, and they should have beaten the Niners, is their protections. They were, you know, I was talking with like Jason Garrett and Devin McCourty, and they were talking to me about how brilliant Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson were in terms of how they adjusted the protection of the offensive line. Like they constantly were doing different protections to keep Jared Goff in a clean pocket. And so those two in 14 dome games, pretty awesome. By the way, their division got weaker. I mean, I think the Bears will be slightly better, but the Vikings slightly
Packers
worse. Packers be good, but anyway.
They should be leading. I mean, they just run a ton of plays as well, even with how much they run the ball. I think Jared Goff was second in the league in pass attempts. Like, they just have the ball a lot because they are so good at staying on the field.
And for St. Brown being in that slot a lot, that also leads to, you know, the slot guy oftentimes is the first read. That's oftentimes the guy that you scheme to get open, which we know that's what they do for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
They also lost Josh Reynolds. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And not that Josh Reynolds isn't, but, like, that's a guy that was getting, you know, six targets a game. Right. Josh Reynolds no longer there. Sam Laporta coming off of a major injury. We'll see how, you know, is he there to, does he start the season on the pup? Or is even if he's not, is he slow? You know, like, kind of stuff. I know he limped through the playoffs and everything like that. But, like, you know, so we'll see. We'll see on Laporta. But that's my point, right? You know, it's just Amon-Ra is the focal point of that offense.
Well, what about Donovan Peoples-Jones in this offense? How you feel about that?
Is he on the Lions?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Unbelievable. I will say, Jared Goff gets a ton of
And I don't think Jameson Williams gets the volume that, you know.
He's just a different player as
He's
well.
A different player. He's had – it's been tough for him to get on the field in significant action, which sort of like his eyebrow
raising. And they're saying he – you know, Dan Campbell said a while back he'll have a chance to – you want to hear him say – he's the wide receiver, too, not he has a chance, and he was picked 12th overall.
Right. Yep. Yeah. No, exactly. And then Khalif Raymond, like, what are we doing? It's Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's Sam Laporta, it's Jahmyr Gibbs, you know? And anyway, so, yeah.
But before we move, last thing, Jared Goff gets a ton of criticism, and I don't think it's – like, he really showed up in that NFC title game, I thought, against San Francisco. Like, they didn't lose that game because of him. He played really well in
that
game. The previous NFC title game he played in New Orleans, tough environment, he showed up for that game. Now, Super Bowl was a disaster against the Patriots, but I think that he is still – he's reached the level that I still don't think his reputation has matched just because he was so bad in that Super Bowl and people just don't think of him
in
the same tier.
He could play, too. Just protect him.
Yeah.
No, and that's the other thing. And by the way, and McVay has often talked about that Super Bowl, just saying, like, he got too in his own mind about Belichick. He's like, have we just done what we did all year, and I just didn't worry about Belichick and the Patriots, we'd have won. He goes, but I got too, I try to get too cute trying to think about how do I out-scheme Belichick, and I just, you know, he's been pretty candid about that. So I think if they played that game again, you know, Jared Goff's a different quarterback than he was back then.
He's a
much, you know, much more confident. And
rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
We're a Jared Goff show. We like Jared Goff.
Yeah, we like Jared Goff. All right. Well, we also like Puka Nacua.
Who friend of the podcast.
Shares my Twitter profile picture these days. And he headlines 11 through 20 in your rankings. He's number 11, followed by a couple of superstar receivers, AJ Brown, Garrett Wilson, then Saquon Barkley at 14, now Philadelphia Eagle. Still looks weird to see the Eagle next to Saquon. Jonathan Taylor, number 15. Then we have Nico Collins, Brandon Ayuk, Drake London, and then closing out with a couple of Bills, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Matthew, you want to start off with Nico Collins, who I think is maybe, of these players, maybe the highest upside receiver, just because you look at some of his advanced stuff. In terms of yards per route run, I believe it was Tyreek Hill number one last year and Nico Collins number two. Like, that's how good he was. And he could be absolutely a top three wide receiver if things go right.
He played 13 full games with C.J. Stroud last year, averaged 18.8 fantasy points per game in those games, averaged 91 yards per game in those games. And you sort of feel like this Texans offense has just sort of scratched the surface. And so Nico Collins was a preseason sleeper for me. I was also big on Tank Dell, obviously. But, you know, if you go and, like, my guy Dwayne McFarland over at fantasylife.com had all just talked about the same thing you did last year. He was talking about all the underlying metrics for Nico Collins, just like, you know, in terms of his yards per route run. Like, when this guy's on the field, he actually contributes quite a bit. And so now with a bigger role, and he kind of had this breakout year last year for the Texans. And so, but I agree with you. I don't think we've seen the ceiling yet for Nico Collins. I think about the playoffs, right, where just like, Tank Dell is hurt. Like, you know, Robert Woods is out there on one leg. Yeah. You know, it's like Nico Collins is all they got. Noah Brown's banged up too. And everyone knew the ball's going to Nico Collins. And yet he still put up massive numbers. Like,
think about the Colts game. Like, he won that game for them. CJ Stroud obviously had a part as well. But Nico was a monster that day.
The good thing for him too is even when Noah Brown and or Tank Dell, when they doing their thing, when they're getting their numbers, Nico Collins is too. And if he's not having it in yardage or receptions, he's still getting the targets. He's declared number one guy. People are going to be looking to see if his season was a fluke, but with C.J. Stroud and him together, I think it's going to grow even stronger.
You know, it'll be interesting, right? Because, I mean, like, again, I think as we talk about some of these situations, you know, we mentioned, I don't know, he's a running back, but Kyren Williams, you know, all the same offense, all the same, you know, all the same people around him, right? Ben Johnson back in Detroit for Amon-Ra St. Brown with Jared Goff. Like, and so Nico Collins, like, you know, same offensive coordinator, same head coach, same quarterback, second year. It's now the second year with C.J. Stroud. It's now the second year in that system as well. And so you always feel good about, you know, like, if this is what they did in year one, now they've got the whole offseason to, you know, really get into it. And you often see second year offenses, second year players, that kind of stuff, you know, take even another step. So I agree with you. I think, you know, I have Nico Collins at wide receiver 9, but would not shock me if he finishes as a top 3 guy.
Yep.
He's got that kind of talent and opportunity.
All right, Lawrence, going to give the floor to you to talk about Detective Drake London, your man from your beloved Atlanta Falcons, who was previously number 40 in Matthew's rankings, surged up to 18.
Yeah,
biggest riser with Kirk Cousins now in town. Like, how good can Drake London be?
Well, I think that rise is warranted because one thing's for certain, when Kirk Cousins is your quarterback, that is a fantasy happy offense. Like, that is proven. Falcons pass, oh my Lord, looking at those pass offense rank is 31st in 2022, 22nd in 2023. I can guarantee you that's not going to happen with Kirk Cousins, straight drop back passer. And for Drake London, we've seen what he's been able to do despite the quarterback play in his first two seasons, has yet to touch 1,000 yards in a season. This is a receiver who should have had a 1,000-yard season by now. I think we'll see that this time with Kirk Cousins. So we've seen what Kirk Cousins was able to do with a rookie, Justin Jefferson. Now, a lot of that is the talent of Justin Jefferson. But now you get a guy who was a top 10 pick in the draft. Now you're going to finally get to use him. Old coaching regime gone, new in there. So with Zach Robinson as the offensive coordinator, sky could be the limit for London. 1,200, 1,300 yards is in play right here for him.
Zach Robinson, obviously coming from the Rams, very wide receiver friendly system, you know, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, et cetera, Robert Woods back in the day. So I think to your point, Kirk Cousins has supported a top 10 fantasy wide receiver in every year he was in Minnesota except for one. Five of the six seasons he was with the Vikings, whether it was Justin Jefferson or Adam Thielen back in the day, he always had a top 10 wide receiver. Cousins, even when he was with Washington, like, he can support a number one wide receiver. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, they're going to be playing in a dome. Like, yeah. Drake London's lack of production has been entirely quarterback dependent, not his talent. Like, so I'm all in on Drake London. Yep. Lawrence and I are finally on the same page here. I know you don't think Kirk Cousins is that big an upgrade over Desmond Ritter, because I know how much you
he's an upgrade.
I know how much you love Desmond Ritter, but
I think the big thing is, like, who's going to be second on the team in targets? Maybe Kyle Pitts?
I think it's Kyle Pitts.
It's probably Kyle Pitts, and the drop-off there is going to be massive.
It's got to be Otto. Kyle Pitts didn't give Kirk Cousins his jersey number, right. so he might not get them targets. He got Kirk Cousins wearing the 18 out there, looking like Peyton Manning.
I think,
but Cousins is also like to use his tight end, whether, you know, Hockenson, the little bit of time they were together in Minnesota, Jordan Reed back in the day with Washington as well. You know, like, you know, he tried to make Irv Smith a thing there for a minute. Anyway, I think he hasn't really had a weapon at tight end since maybe Jordan Reed, like Kyle Pitts, in terms of a move tight end that can, you know.
And remember, Kyle Pitts has had a 1,000-yard season, but that was with Matt Ryan. So now you got Kirk Cousins, who's kind of like Matt Ryan light-ish, you know what I'm saying? Sure. So, yeah, we like that.
All right, let's jump into the number one quarterback for you, Matthew. Josh Allen comes in 19 in your rankings. I guess this was a fairly easy choice to have him as the number one quarterback.
Well, sure, of course. Fantasy life investor, Josh Allen, proud fantasy life investor.
Need to invest here's the
other
Allen
thing.
Notes.
No, but here's the other thing is that, so Josh Allen, I think, is the, there's two things to sort of talk about here, right? Number one is the floor of Josh Allen. Like, just in terms of, why is he the number one quarterback and why is he inside my top 20? So let's talk about those two things. In terms of why he's inside my top 20, if you start getting after, like, you look at who's number 20, right? I'm at 19 overall. Number 20 is Stephon Diggs. We have some question marks about Stephon Diggs, right? Some of the guys that come after him, you know, we're not going to get into 21 through 30, but you'll sit there and look there, and you're like, Davante Adams is the world. Like, guys that you start going, like, I think he could be good, but also if you squint, you're sort of like, you know what? I could see something where this starts going south. So, like, we'll see how, you know, drafts sort of continue to go until August, but I like locking in the production. The other argument for Josh Allen is that I would argue that at the it's nice having an elite quarterback, and I would argue that Josh Allen has less question marks about him among the elite quarterbacks than anyone else. I mean, so you start thinking about Lamar, can he stay healthy? Patrick Mahomes, down year fantasy-wise last year as they turned in kind of a run-heavy team. Justin Herbert, he's going to be on a run-heavy team. Anthony Richardson's, we've got four games of sample size with him, right? Jalen Hurts loses Jason Kelce. Like, Jalen Hurts did not have as good a year last year as he did the year before, but you didn't notice because he was getting all the tush-push and the brotherly shove touchdowns. Is that play still going to be as effective without Jason Kelce? Like, I think that's a legit question. It'll still be, and also, by the way, is he going to get as many rushing touchdowns now that they have Saquon? Yeah. It's one thing to say, like, sorry, DeAndre Swift, I'm taking this. It's another thing when they're paying Saquon the kind of money. Like, they're going to want Saquon to work.
Sure.
Like, they're going to want Saquon. So my point is like, even if you say, hey, maybe Jalen Hurts gets five less rushing touchdowns over the course of a year, four less. The fact of the matter is, like, that's significant when, you know, the passing offense was inconsistent last year for Philadelphia, as I dropped my pen. So I just think Josh Allen, who averaged over 2 points more than any other quarterback last year, who's finished as the top two fantasy quarterback every one of the last four seasons, has at least six rushing touchdowns in every season of his NFL career. Once Joe Brady took over, he was the second best quarterback in fantasy, behind only Lamar. If you wanted to make Lamar number one, I get it. It's just, for me, Lawrence Jackson, I know you're as big a Lamar fan as anyone out there.
He won't be my fantasy QB1 this year.
Right. I mean, because he had some monster games, but he also disappeared too.
He did nothing for six weeks.
Right. Yeah. He was a really good NFL quarterback throughout the season, but like fantasy wise, he might be
my number three. But there's a guy that I might put over Josh Allen, but that might be for another day. I just wanted to
Who's
say,
that? Was,
you mentioned him, Anthony Richardson.
I might go there.
We're talking ceiling. Just quick about Jalen Hurts.
It wouldn't shock me if Anthony Richardson finished as the number one quarterback
in fantasy. This is how I see it, right?
It's also just Allen has such a high floor.
Right. It could be getting too big for my britches, but I had Anthony Richardson as quarterback 5 in his rookie year.
Yep.
Again, the sample size was too small, but he was quarterback 5 in that short sample size. For Allen, I would say this. You talk about his floor. You don't have to look no further than the game against the Chiefs that they lost in the playoffs. He was 15-39 passing for only 186 yards. Yeah. But he ran for 72 yards and two rushing touchdowns with that. I think he had one. So when you talk about – that's a great fantasy day right there. So, I mean, you can't argue the Josh Allen at this point. He's been the top guy in fantasy.
Yep.
Say for Jalen Hurts the 1 year, but the past 3 years, it's been him, double-digit rushing touchdowns.
Diggs and Sherfield also left about 150 yards and three touchdowns on the table for Josh Allen.
There's no question about it. I'd argue Curtis Samuel is an upgrade over Gabe Davis just in terms from a passing offense. They're obviously different kind of different kind of wide receivers. But Curtis Samuel is really good, and he's going to be a really good fit for that offense. They're going to draft a wide receiver, and second year of Dalton Kincaid as well. Shakir came on as well.
Like
so, you know, and I think they having the full offseason to really get into Joe Brady's offense versus, you know, last year was sort of like they're just trying to, you know, mix and match a little bit. Ken Dorsey's offense, and he switched a little things, but Brady will get his hands around this a little bit more.
There's a couple of receivers at the end of that first round that the Bills could draft, and those guys like a Keon Coleman or Adonai Mitchell could end up having a better season than those big three receivers at the top part of the draft simply because they're with Josh Allen and the Bills. Yep.
Last two things on Allen. One, I think there's always a little bit of a concern about Allen's health because of how violently he plays, but he never gets hurt. He never gets hurt. At some point, you just have to accept that he's just built differently.
He's a linebacker out there.
And so I'm not too concerned about that. The other thing, which I think helps Allen's fantasy value, is the Bills have this insanely difficult schedule because they have a first-place schedule because they won the division on the last day of the season. They're not going to be able, I think, to just run the ball every second half. Like, I think they're going to be in really difficult games. And so I think that helps with Allen just with needing him to drop back, needing him to run, needing him to throw. So I agree with him being number one of the quarterbacks. Lawrence, let's go to Saquon Barkley, who I think is maybe the most confusing player in the top 20, just because I don't really know who this guy is anymore. Is he the guy who was in the mix to win comeback player of the year a year ago, or 2 years ago, or is he the guy who really struggled in that Giants offense, which admittedly was the Giants offense, but like his yards after contact, his broken tackle rate, all that fell off. And then you've got him in this Eagles offense where much better offensive line, better offense, but Jalen Hurts is going to steal touchdowns, and also Jalen Hurts doesn't throw to the running back.
You're definitely going to get Jalen Hurts getting the I could also see a scenario where both of those guys hover around 10 rushing touchdowns, Jay. But I'll say this, though. If you have questions about Saquon Barkley or, you know, is he the same guy, just think about the questions that DeAndre Swift had coming into, you know, playing for the Eagles last year with the injuries that he had, just not being used and wasn't as productive as we thought he could be. He parlayed his one season with the Eagles into a 3-year, $24 million contract with the Bears. The year before that, Miles Sanders rushing for 1,200 yards, and He parlayed that into a contract. We've seen him with the Panthers. Now he's the backup running back behind Chuba Hubbard. So I think everything is going to work in Saquon Barkley's favor. He'll lose those rushing touchdowns to Jalen Hurts, but he'll have more opportunities to score himself. And some feel like he can't break the long one anymore. I think he still can. He's done that recently. Just the team, the aura around him. You heard his daughter say last week, like, "Hey, Daddy, we gonna win now?" He's like, "Yes, we're gonna win some games now." So I think I see Matthew has him at running back 6 right now. I said if he got to the Eagles, the Cowboys, or any one of these playoff teams, he should be in top 5 running back consideration, and here we are.
Saquon Barkley. Yeah, my daughter's also asked me if we're going to win now, Daddy, and the answer is no.
That's right. But your daughters are asking, like, well, are we going to win now? Because it's plus 125,
sure.
And this feels like, yeah, exactly.
Yep. No.
You've trained your daughters to be degenerate gamblers, which I like, by the way. You know, when I can't get a hold of you, I'll text Remy, and I'll be like, hey, what are we like? I need a line on the Orioles.
So I have this bet on Kobe White in the NBA to win Most Improved Player. So I'm taking my daughter to Barclays Center tomorrow night to watch them play the Bulls. That's what fatherhood is all about. Taking your daughter to Bulls Nets.
Are y'all both gonna be wearing a Kobe White jersey? Because you definitely should.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm not sure that'll help you will him to winning that award.
Yeah, he's in a bit of a slump now.
He prefers hand-me-down jerseys for his daughter.
He gonna go with the New York Liberty.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe I'll wear that.
Exactly.
Maybe I'll bring the Breanna Stewart jersey. All right, let's.
Buy her an Indiana Fever jersey. Like, get her a Caitlin Clark.
Because they're about to be up. Exactly. It's about to be up for the Indiana
Caitlin
Fever.
Caitlin Clark's going to be an Indiana Fever, and like, get her on board now.
Yes. Yeah. That is. She is a juggernaut. To herself. Looking forward to watching her in the WNBA. All right. Not WNBA chat now though. It's baseball chat. Opening day is here. It's never too late to squeeze in another draft. So for those last-minute drafters, grab your RotoWorld Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit nbcsports.com/draftguide and use code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout. You can follow along how Lawrence's Detroit Lions go as they try to win the AL Central for the first time in many years. Sorry, Detroit Tigers. Yeah,
I'm not Lions, fan, Tigers. You know.
There you go.
No, they relate it.
Good pickup. All right, let's get to some RotoWorld player news now.
Do you have a baseball team? Is it the Yankees? Who are your team?
Just the Yankees. They're the closest to me. It kind of goes with my brand as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of villainous, going for loathe teams.
I got like 6 MLB teams.
Well, the thing is whoever, like,
I feel like it's whoever's hat you have. You suddenly
you are.
In the Atlanta Braves are like the best team in baseball. And you wear your Tigers hat.
And you see I have a lot of hats for them. I got my LA hats on deck, you know, so I'm ready for I got like my mid-tier team, but I got the elites too.
Right.
So, you know, I can't, you know, got to be fair.
Okay.
You're
well,
fair. You're a terrible baseball player. You're worse than I am. At least I'm like, yeah. My team is the Angels.
I'm going to win something, though. Right.
Maybe. That's fine. My team's the Angels. Although, I, you know, ask me to name 3 Angels, and it's Mike Trout. I think Tim Salmon, he still plays for them, right?
Yeah, you're not
Jared Anderson.
You got me after Mike
Sean
Trout.
Figgins. Yeah.
My Angels
knowledge ends after a certain period of time.
Not tracking Logan O'Hoppy's surge to be their starting catcher this year. Okay, let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have agreed to terms with Cordarrelle Patterson, formerly of Lawrence's Falcons, on a 2-year, $6 million deal for Cordarrelle. And he goes now to join a fairly loaded backfield with my man Najee Harris, my soulmate, and Jaylen Warren in Arthur Smith's offense. I don't think that Patterson has any standalone value. Either.
No, not unless there's an injury to Harris or Warren, but it is, you know, it's somebody who's familiar with Arthur Smith's offense that he used successfully in Atlanta, can fill a variety of different roles, especially when you think, I wonder if we get back to seeing him more as a wide receiver than running back because, again, Deontay Johnson moves on to Carolina. They're likely going to draft someone, but it's pretty much George Pickens at the moment, you know, and they don't have much else in that room. So I could see him being more effective as a being used more in the passing game than the run game for Arthur Smith.
Yep. Yeah, probably going to be more annoying than anything else.
Yeah.
Hey, Cordarrelle Patterson, man, thank you for what you did for Atlanta, man. You brought a little spark, you know what I'm saying?
We love Cordarrelle Patterson here. Yeah, we're a CPAT fan. Yeah, this is a show that's just pro CPAT.
Shout out to him for still doing it at 33.
Indeed.
Thank you for looking at me when you said that, too, by the way.
You 33?
Well, no, I'm still doing it at an older age.
Yes, not 33. So Matt LaFleur has said that the Packers, they will use Josh Jacobs as a pass catcher out of the backfield. And let's hear some more specifics from LaFleur.
You know, just studying him, I think there's more out there for him in regards to the passing game, using him out of the backfield. You know, he's put some really good choice routes on tape, and that's something that we always try to get to. We've done it a little bit more down in the red area, but I love the person, you know, just being around him, you know, in that brief time when he came into Green Bay. You know, it's not a shocker to me that why he wore a C on his jersey. You can just see that the kind of person he is.
Okay, Matt LaFleur on Josh Jacobs. Does that do anything for you in terms of how Jacobs seems to have gone a little bit under the radar? Like, he wasn't in your top 20. He's 75-1 to an offensive player of the year. He won the rushing title 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, but I will tell you, like, I did my off-season love-hate, my free agency love-hate, and he was a love. He lands in a great situation here in Green Bay where he's going to get massive workload. His only competition for touches is A.J. Dillon. I'm not worried about A.J. Dillon. I don't think Josh Jacobs is either. I totally get it with Matt LaFleur. I've interviewed Josh Jacobs multiple times, and like when you meet him, we've talked to him.
He's great.
Super Bowl, he's great.
He's very candid.
He's very candid, but he's also very personable. I'm to LaFleur's point, not surprised that his teammates really like him as well. That wouldn't be surprised if he's named a captain for the Packers as well this year. And I think what's important here is that each of the past two seasons where he's had at least 15 games played. So 2021, 2022, of course, injured and, you know, whatever, last year, whole thing. But he had 50 receptions. Like, pass catching is part of his game. He has that ability. So could he get to, like, 65, maybe 70 receptions? Because all of a sudden, Yeah, and if he can get there along with, you know, 15 to 18 carries on an offense that's going to be in scoring position a lot more often than the Raiders were, you know, with Jordan Love under center and those young wide receivers, Josh, like, number one running back in fantasy for Josh Jacobs is not outside the realm of possibility.
Absolutely
like,
not.
I think it's unlikely, but I like he easily could be, you know, 75 catches, 1,600 total yards, and like 14 touchdowns. Like, that's not a crazy. That would not be crazy stat line for Josh Jacobs next year.
Heavy on that 75 catches, too. I really do believe that. Think about it like this when you're in your fantasy drafts. The Packers saw what Aaron Jones did in those playoffs. He was a stud in the playoffs, all throughout the playoffs.
For sure.
And they said, we're going to go to Josh Jacobs right now. And what Matt LaFleur said about those choice routes, that is really an underrated part of his game. He gets those linebackers in the position they don't want to be in, and he going left to right. So I do believe with that, with what he said, and just he's already getting 50 catches a season, 75 receptions is not out of the question for Josh Jacobs.
I think as well the Shanahan coaching tree, which LaFleur is obviously a part of, like, all these guys want to run the ball. Like, deep down, they want to run the ball. They want to have everything based around the run game. And Jacobs, just given Aaron Jones' health concerns, he just never really had the run under LaFleur that you would have liked, particularly the past couple of years. But Jacobs has the chance to be an absolute monster. All right, Chargers GM Joe Ortiz has called Gus Edwards the bell cow of the backfield, Lawrence. What kind of value do you think that Gus Edwards can bring this season?
You know, we talked about it a little earlier, him possibly being one of those guys in the middle rounds that you pluck out there on the sneak and be like, oh, he's getting, you know, his 15 carries, he's getting these goal line carries. Basically the same role that he had last season, the same role that he secured when Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator of the Ravens, and that's who his offensive coordinator is right now. So it doesn't matter to me what they do. it may not be a running back in the draft. Even, you know, I would even say, you know, don't forget about Isaiah Spiller. He may get some touches. But the guy who's the most proven, the guy who's coming off his best season, 13 rushing touchdowns, he's money in that goal line. If you look out, I saw a stat on Twitter showing the length of all his touchdowns last year. It was like 1-1-1-1-1, yeah. 5, 1-1-1-2-3. Like, so, and you'd expect, you know, a team with Herbert at quarterback, now with Jim Harbaugh, who is always successful with his offenses, you would expect Gus Edwards to get those same type of opportunities.
Agreed. There,
I think he's going to be a draft day steal. I'm a little annoyed that Ortiz, because he was one of my big loves.
Yeah.
And then that was before Ortiz said this. I'm like, listen, to your point, they want to run the ball. Greg Roman's been an offense coordinator for 10 years. He's been top three in rush attempts in 7 of those seasons. Like, they want to run the ball. That's what Harbaugh wants to do. That's what Roman wants to do. And Gus Edwards, who's a better pass catcher than he gets credit for, they just didn't use him that way, but maybe they use him a little bit in that role. And so we'll see. I don't think they're going to bring in a ton of competition. Maybe they will.
I was about to say, hey, now if they end up drafting Blake Corum out of Michigan, watch out now.
I think it'll be more of a pass catcher, but there is a chance.
Because Blake Corum is another guy who's – he's got a nose for the end zone around. Yeah. So it's kind of the same thing.
But we like it. Gus Edwards. This is going to be – he's going to be somebody that I think will outperform ADP. He won't be sexy, but he is somebody that is just going to get a ton of work, especially around the goal line. But there is a chance he could have some competition in J.K. Dobbins, Jay.
Indeed, and J.K. Dobbins has been cleared for football activities per Tom Pelissero. Dobbins obviously has been crueled by injuries his entire career. Do you think that there is any chance that Dobbins has the upside where if he does land at a place like the Chargers who he visited that, you know, he could take over a lead role?
Yeah, I mean, he's had the talent. I mean, this is a guy that came out of Ohio State and was considered, like, you know, an elite prospect. And so the fact of the matter is like, you know, as Pelissero notes here, doing some carrying of the water for Dobbins' agent likely, Dobbins, who averages 5.8 yards per carry in his career, expect to take visits soon. One of those visits is going to be with the Chargers, where he potentially could be reunited with Greg Roman, his offense coordinator, in Baltimore, and, of course, Gus Edwards, his running back roommate in Baltimore. So we'll see. You know, we'll see where Dobbins is one of those guys that, because of the injury history, it's going to probably be a one-year prove-it deal, and it's going to be a little bit about landing spot. But, yeah, he's a guy that will go late in drafts that I don't mind taking a flyer on because, again, it hasn't been consistent, but when he's gotten an opportunity and been healthy, he has been productive.
Yep, clearly has the pedigree. All right, Lawrence, former Bills and Patriots running back Damian Harris announced his retirement from the NFL. Harris has dealt with injuries a lot. I don't think there's too much to say here outside of just best luck. Best of luck to Damian Harris. He had some great patches in his career with the Patriots, and he's a great soldier for that franchise.
Made a nice little tandem with Josh Jacobs at Alabama a few years back, too.
Yep.
Shout out to him.
Going from Saban to Belichick, I mean, that's a pretty good, you know, if you're gonna have a couple of coaches coach you, those are two of the best.
Indeed. All right, Bleacher Report's Jordan Schultz reports the Chiefs are signing rugby star Lewis Rees-Zammit to play running back / wide receiver. I believe we might have some footage of Lewis playing.
Yeah. Can you break this down for us?
Can we just break down
because
the tape?
Rugby's like Australian rules football, right?
Oh, yeah, it's exactly the same. It's actually completely different.
Look at that pace.
I'm 14, just diving into the quote-unquote end zone.
Look at this.
Yeah, look at his pace. It's like a young Jay Croucher.
What kind of moves do we got?
The little kicks in rugby are sort of funny.
Diving
into the end zone. Looks good. He's got a fan base. Here's some footage of him, trying to play actual football, catching.
Is that you, Jay?
Yeah, wow.
Oh, my God.
That's like it's like a bigger, more muscle-bound Wes Welker out there.
Right. He's like he's like what Kadarius Toney should be.
Oh, yeah.
Wide receiver, but he actually catches the ball and stays healthy.
You probably don't want to get in front of him. I'll say that.
No. Here's the other thing that I don't think people realize about Rees-Zammit. So you saw some of the footage we saw there from Wales. Do you know what, Lawrence, I don't know if you were able to catch it. Did you catch the Rugby World Cup? the last Rugby World Cup?
Yeah, actually, I did not.
Okay. So
tell
I don't
me
know
about
what
it.
Happened. I'll tell you what happened. So Wales won with him playing on it. Mm-hmm. And you know who they beat? They beat Australia. Yeah. They beat Australia. Okay. Show the stats here. Show the stats of what this is. It's unbelievable they did against Australia. 40-6, Lawrence.
Ooh.
Jay, I don't know if you can defend this at all.
That was a championship?
Wales' largest victory ever of Australia. Australia's largest defeat in a World Cup match. They dropped to 10th in the world rugby rankings. Lowest in history for the Aussies. This guy, number 14. Lewis Rees-Zammit, just completely just taking a dump on Jay and his entire heritage.
He actually said your name.
Yeah,
after
exactly. It. He's just like, this is for Croucher. I'm doing this to Croucher.
Yeah.
And so now, like, Australia actually might have to, like, you know, fold up like one man.
We get relegated?
Yeah, you might get relegated.
Different galaxy?
Yeah, exactly. To a different planet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable what this guy did to you personally.
I know. The good thing is though, two of my three daughters were born here in America and are American citizens. So I believe that actually technically makes me an American now, so I'm just going to claim Team USA, big LeBron James type guy, big Landon Donovan type operator.
Wow.
So
that's how crazy this Zammit guy was, Lawrence, is that he just literally made Jay renounce his citizenship.
Yeah,
you didn't play no rugby back in your day?
No, so the thing is, and very brief tangent, in Australia, half the country cares about Australian football, then half the country cares about rugby, and I was in the half that cares about Australian football. So I know about as much about rugby as you two guys do.
Wow.
I'm an Australian football
guy.
Well,
you just learned something now.
Yeah, that my country got absolutely destroyed.
Destroyed.
They might have needed some help from you.
Destroyed. Indeed. It was like the bad guy in Kangaroo Jack. Just absolutely destroyed.
Good to get in a Kangaroo Jack reference.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's talk about Brian Callahan, who said that Calvin Ridley, his role will be very similar to Jamar Chase's role in the Bengals offense. Calvin Ridley, Matthew, is one of the great enigmas coming into the season,
yes.
Like very high, high ceiling, low floor.
Yeah, I mean, wide range of outcomes for Calvin Ridley here. I think, let me give some context here. I think what he means when he says the Jamar Chase role is just that they're going to use him a little bit more in the slot, right? I mean, so Jamar Chase, 35% of his targets last year came in the slot. Calvin Ridley, just 16%. So they're going to use Ridley more in the slot, and they'll also use him more on the short yardage. I mean, a lot of times they would use Jamar Chase as sort of their run game, if you will, like these little slants, these little bubble screens, that kind of stuff, because last year, 44% of Chase's targets were five or fewer air yards, whereas Calvin Ridley, under 20% of his targets were five or fewer air yards. So I think that's what he means. Probably trying to use, you know, expanding his route tree, try to use him on some short stuff, try to use him out of the slot, try to move him all over. All that said, Calvin Ridley, he ain't Jamar Chase.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? He's just not, right? And Will Levis isn't Joe Burrow. So, you know, it's a nice thing to say. It's kind of a catchy little quote. And we certainly would like Calvin Ridley to have an expanded route tree, and certainly the way they're paying him, you would expect him to have a a big part of this offense, but he's one of those guys that we just don't know, because he had some moments of brilliance last year, and then he had moments that he just disappeared. And now he's going to a brand new team with a lesser quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. You know, we have high hopes for Will Levis, but he's not Trevor Lawrence at this stage of his career. He's definitely not Joe Burrow. So, we'll see. We'll see on Calvin Ridley.
I think with Ridley, he's the type of guy where if you're in your draft and it's not going well, and then you need to take a really high upside swing, then you might want to go with Calvin Ridley.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. A lot of variance there.
Yeah, yeah.
But he also, like, wouldn't shock me if he's, like, wide receiver 35
sure.
next year.
Yep.
Too.
No, that is in play. Lawrence Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said the team has made an offer to free agent Odell Beckham Jr. Odell had a weird year in Baltimore. He's anonymous in the playoff game, but did have stretches towards the end of the season where he looked like Odell Beckham.
Yeah, he showed that he could be a value to an offense. coming here to the Dolphins, I would have, lower expectations than what I did him going to the Ravens, because obviously they got Tyreek Hill. You got Jalen Waddle. That's 2,000-yard receiver. Well, hell, Tyreek Hill is a 1,700-yard receiver. Then you got Waddle, who's a 1,000-yard receiver. But he could be a nice complement to them. But I don't think we'd be going into draft saying, well, who do you want? Like last year we said, who do you want, Zay Jones or Odell Beckham? It's not going to be no question about that. He'll be a good piece for that offense from a real football perspective, because he's a different receiver than them. But, coming off of 35 receptions, 565 yards, and 3 touchdowns, like, that's about what you probably would expect from him if he signed with the Dolphins.
You hit it on the head. He's going to be a better NFL player. Like, it gives me more confidence in Tua, assuming Tua's back with Miami, than it does about – I don't think you can draft Odell Beckham Jr.
No.
To me, what it is if there's an injury at some point to Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle next year, we're going to be talking about him on the waiver wire show. Hey, go pick up OBJ.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, you're just – because you also forget, like, they should, hopefully, have Devon Achane for the entire season. They're going to use him in their passing game, and
right.
Mostert as well. And so – OBJ is a guy that's going to, like, they'll use him in a couple of ways, and, like, he'll maybe have a big play here or there, a splashy play. It's another weapon for Tua. It's another weapon for McDaniel. But in terms of consistent fantasy production, I just don't see it unless there's an injury.
Yep. Well, I think a guy who might outperform Odell Beckham this season is my man Josh Reynolds, signed by Denver Broncos, formerly of the Lions, to a 2-year $14 million deal, Matthew. I mean, Josh Reynolds, there aren't a lot of players on the Broncos who are going to steal targets from him.
Yeah, I mean, other than Cortland Sutton, listen, I'm Marvin Mims. I'd much rather have Marvin Mims. I think, again, let's figure out what their quarterback situation is going to be, because I still don't think we know just yet. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if Cortland Sutton's on the team come August, because he was rumored to be traded, as was Judy. Judy's already moved on. Cortland Sutton is still there, but, you know, if they go into the season with Marvin Mims and Josh Reynolds, like, I prefer Marvin Mims, but I think Josh Reynolds is a nice piece. I don't know that he's going to have a ton of fantasy value. You've got, you know, Tim Patrick coming off the injury as well. He'll be there maybe. So let's see how this all shakes out.
Yeah.
But I thought it's nice money for Josh Reynolds, who had,
that.
Other than this second half against the Niners, had a really good season.
Yeah, it's a tough second half for Josh Reynolds.
I mean, like, Detroit had to move on after that. Like, that guy can't, you know, it's unfortunate, right? It's like
brutal.
He had two really, really bad plays at the worst possible moment.
Yep. Yeah.
Just, you know, awful, awful.
Tell you what, if you're Jameer Gibbs, you're so happy. Well, you're not happy about it, but it was good for his memory of that game that Josh Reynolds did what he did. Gibbs had the costly fumble that really cost them dearly.
But right behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
Josh Reynolds catches that ball on 4th and 2.
They win.
The Lions are going to the Super Bowl.
They may well have won the Super Bowl, Detroit. So anyway, tough scene.
Tough
for the Lions.
Crazy.
But what percentage of NFL fans do you think know who the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos is right now? I'm not sure it's more than 50%.
10%.
I was going to say, ooh, who is
it? Jarrett Stidham. But, I mean, I assume that the quarterback is on
draft.
The team.
I assume they're going to draft
But,
somebody.
I mean, Jarrett Stidham's the
incumbent. Oh, no, Sean Payton's stubborn.
Yeah.
They signed him to a 2-year, like a $10 million deal last year, didn't they? They signed him to pretty good backup money, I guess.
I'm not sure Sean Payton's going in the season with – with that operation. But
no,
a lot of questions about that Denver offense.
Yep.
A lot of questions about the Denver roster as a whole. You see some people floating around trying to trade Patrick Surtain. Who knows what's going on?
Their starting quarterback is likely not on their team right now. It's probably going to be a rookie.
Yep.
They're going to be one of the teams that drafts a rookie.
Another team that may draft.
J.J. McCarthy.
Bo Nix, Michael Penix.
Another
team who was in that discussion to draft a quarterback who may not have their starting quarterback on the roster right now are the Las Vegas Raiders. But head coach Antonio Pierce said QB Aiden O'Connell has earned a chance to compete for the starting quarterback job. Lawrence, what do you think the chances are that AOC is the QB heading into the season?
With Gardner Minshew there, I'm going to say Gardner Minshew starts there to start out the season. He got the $15 million there for the two years.
Pro Bowl quarterback Gardner Minshew.
Pro Bowl. Don't matter how you got it.
I'm just saying.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler Huntley.
Thank you for putting that out there.
Hey, look, the Colts was playing for the division in Week 18 against the Texans with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. We know he's an up-and-down player, but that's – why he's a backup, and that's also why Aiden O'Connell has a chance to compete with him to start. So it'll be close, but we saw the Raiders win games with Aiden O'Connell not even throwing a damn ball. So toss up, but I get an edge to Minshew.
Lawrence, they were competing for the division on the last day, but do you know why they lost the division? Because Gardner Minshew couldn't clear a wide open screen pass to Tyler Goodson.
Right, and that's exactly why Aiden O'Connell has a chance to win the.
It wasn't a great pass.
It was behind
it. It was not a good pass.
Messed up that play, I think.
But the point remains, they was there. They could have been in the playoffs with Gardner Minshew. But the reason they weren't is why Aiden O'Connell has a chance to beat him out.
We like Aiden O'Connell, by the way. Friend of the podcast. Sure. He's been on the show
a couple of times.
Very normal, lovely guy.
Yeah,
was
super
a fourth
great.
Round pick.
Yeah.
Starting games and beating the Chiefs.
So I also don't think it necessarily matters who the quarterback is of the Raiders.
Nope.
Like, you know, Davante Adams is going to get, we'll see if Davante Adams is still on the team come August, but. Assuming he is, him and Jacoby Myers are still going to get the majority of the work on a team that's going to run. That's what Antonio Pierce wants to do. He wants to run the ball. I think it's going to be a lot of Zamir White and play good defense. That's what the Raiders are going to try to be this year.
Yep. Okay, last item, Patriots head coach Jerod Mayo said Jacoby Brissett could absolutely be the team's starting quarterback next season. Now,
He has been before.
He may well be. Again, I wouldn't read a great deal into this, Matthew, just because the Patriots seem to be entertaining offers potentially to trade the number 3 overall pick. So you want to give that illusion that maybe you are fine just drafting a wide receiver. But what do you make of this news?
Yeah, but I would agree with it. I think it depends on the Patriots are having internal discussion. I assume. I don't know. This is not me reporting news. I'm just assuming. I assume the Patriots are sitting there going, all right, you know, Mayo's now the coach. And so, hey, where do we think we are? Do we think we're a quarterback away from competing, or do we need to like really rebuild this whole thing? And if we're like, hey, if we need to really rebuild this whole thing, then you know what? If somebody's going to offer us like a ridiculous haul for the third pick to get me either Drake May or Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy, whoever's there after the first two picks, maybe we do that. And we go for a year with Jacoby Brissett, who is a perfectly fine and serviceable starting quarterback. Like, he'll get you 8 wins. He'll get you 7-8 wins. Like, we can be okay with Jacoby Brissett, and then we get this haul of picks that we can use to fortify our roster both this year and in the future, and maybe we address the quarterback position next season. And so that may be, like, I could see that scenario. Or do they, they trade out of 3 and they trade down. Like, do they trade with, I'm making it up, but do they trade with Minnesota,
sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And now they've got 11 plus some other picks, and maybe Bo Nix is there at 11. You know what I mean? Like, it depends on their own internal draft board. They may be like, we think the difference between, I'm making it up, Drake May and Bo Nix is not as much as the difference between having the 11th, the 22nd, and a number one next year and a linebacker or whatever it is. They, you know what I mean? Whatever haul they get. So I do think, I will say this, Robert Kraft was quoted as saying, boy, it would be nice to have an exciting young quarterback here. But I also do think that if internally they just believe, hey, you know what? we're more than a year away, and it's more valuable to us to get the haul that we can get for three than it is to, you know, draft whoever.
And Brissett is back with them for a reason. Like, Jerod Mayo knows him. He's seen him in the building. He's seen him start games for that organization. And a lot of people feel like the draft will start because they're assuming the Patriots will take a quarterback. So people think that the draft will start at that four pick with the Cardinals, and will they move out of it? But I truly do believe it can be the Patriots because you have a veteran right there in Jacoby Brissett. Again, not the sexiest quarterback name, but like you said, he'll get you that 8-win range. He'll compete, you know? So it's like, get those players, build up.
And there are teams that, you know, you've seen some of the rumors that have come out of the owners' meeting as well. There are teams that could, again, it's sort of, it all depends on how your draft board reads, but if, like, if the Giants are willing to move up, they're at six, right? So the Giants could say, like, hey, we'll move up to three, and, you know, and the Patriots be like, we're good with whoever's there at six. Yeah. Like, we don't have a huge difference between any of them, so we're happy with getting whatever haul we can get from the Giants and taking whoever's left at six versus, you know, the Giants may say, like, we love Drake May, or we love Jaden Daniels, or whoever they think is going to be there at three. And they may not know till they're like, let's see who the Commanders take. And then
bingo.
And then we may, hey, if our guy is there at three, we're willing to trade up, because the Patriots may be like, we're good with whoever's there or whatever. Anyway, so be a lot. There are teams that could easily, that need a quarterback that could trade, you know, Raiders, Giants,
Vikings,
Broncos.
It's going to be a fun draft.
It's going to be a really fun draft. We will be breaking down, by the way, we will be here draft night, both nights, doing quick reaction videos. It's going to be a very fantasy-friendly draft, me, you, and Connor, I believe, so check that out.
Yep. Connor, I was messaging Connor yesterday, Matthew, in the thread that you're not a part of, and he was telling me that he thinks there's a very good chance of four of the top five picks are quarterbacks, and that's where this is headed now, because of the rise of J.J. McCarthy, seemingly.
Yeah, okay. I can understand why you wouldn't want me on that text thread. Yeah, I couldn't contribute.
Exactly. It's a football-only thread.
Bunch of these a-holes.
Yeah.
Okay. See how they do you?
Lawrence is my only guy.
See?
Yeah, exactly. I know.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA, and this season new customers can get $5 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook.
The crown is yours.
I got in a little late, but I still...
That's right, you got there in
the
end.
It's been a while. I ain't been.
Well, you did such a good job of that, Lawrence, that we're going to give you a little little segment here to give us your free agency reaction. Some stock up, stock down. So let's start with stock up, headlined by the former king and maybe king again, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I feel like this is a match made in heaven, getting Derrick Henry on the Ravens. I feel like this is a move we, like, should have seen 5 years ago or something. You might have saw him losing snaps to you did see him lose snaps to Tajay Spears, who became the pass-catching running back. But on a points-per-game basis, he outscored guys like Bijan Robinson, Josh Jacobs, James Cook, Tony Pollard, and DeAndre Swift. There's one guy who had more rushing yards than him last season. That was Christian McCaffrey.
Like,
you heard of him, and he's a damn good player. So for that to be the only guy that outpaced Derrick Henry, and you could call it a down year, but he averaged 4.2 yards a carry. That's okay. That's cool. The Titans didn't have a good offensive line. They were experimenting with a rookie quarterback in Will Levis. So the Titans' offense, it wasn't great. It was probably closer to bad than it was good. But for him to still almost rush for 1,200 yards and now get on this Ravens team where you just saw Gus Edwards walk out the door with 13 rushing touchdowns. Well, who you think that is? Who you think is going to be now? That's going to be Derrick Henry. The Ravens are not the Eagles or the Bills. They don't run Lamar Jackson on quarterback sneaks on the goal line. They don't run him. No, they give it to their run. This is what they got Derrick Henry for. So, I didn't expect to see him in Matthew's top 20, but I do expect to see him, like, not far after that.
Yep. I think as well, just with the shift in offensive line situations. Also, it feels like Derrick Henry was like 14th in the league in rushing yards last year, but he's actually second, which was, I think, just the testament to him. And also the fact that he does not get hurt, despite all of the carries, despite all the wear and tear. He broke his foot two years ago, but outside of that, that one isolated incident, the man just never gets hurt. Another picture of durability is Joe Mixon, who is second on your stock up, Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just kind of made a lateral move, and I don't mean that in a bad way. He went from one good offense to another. Now he's with C.J. Stroud, and they're building over there. If you just look at what Devin Singletary did from week 10 on, when he was the starting running back, he was running back 16 from week 10 to the end of the season. In that same span, Joe Mixon was the running back 3. So Joe Mixon is still doing his thing, and so now he gets in on offense where he'll be the lead back. They still have Damian Pierce, right, but he was proven to be, you know, not the guy when Singletary surpassed him. So I think his stock is even better now that he doesn't have to compete with a with a Jamar Chase in a T. Higgins, and he got Nico Collins, but still, it's just a good situation for him to have opportunities to score.
Yep, and Bobby Slowick, I think, has shown a commitment, maybe an overcommitment, to running the ball, certainly.
No question about it. For a guy that was looking like he was going to get released, and, you know, he lands in a great spot in Houston.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Third guy on your list, Deontay Johnson, who the year of almost for Deontay finally breaks the touchdown duck, but not a great quarterback situation. Now, he's not going to a great quarterback situation in Carolina, but he should be clearly the number one guy in that passing offense.
Right, and I like it for him, too, just based on what, for one, the player that we know he is. He's a 1,000-yard receiver when all the stars align for him. But we saw Bryce Young make Adam Thielen, you know, he had his first 1,000-yard season since 2018. Right, he was the top 10 fantasy receiver through 11 weeks. So you give we'll all take Deontay Johnson over Adam Thielen at this point now. So I think it'll help Deontay Johnson, even though, like you said, it's not a great quarterback situation, but you're still working with a young guy who's got a new coach now. So their pieces are coming together, small, but it's better than what they've. But than what they've worked with last year. So I think Deontay Johnson stocks on the rise.
Yep.
Look, I mean, we saw Adam Thielen was a top 12 fantasy wide receiver for like the majority of the year last year, certainly at the beginning. And like Deontay Johnson's better than Adam Thielen at this stage of their career. So we think, you know, and Dave Canales being there, the offense should improve. Yeah. Deontay Johnson's going to make the love list this year.
Yep. Also, just no chance you would think that Bryce Young could be worse than last year.
Exactly.
Like maybe they better. He may be the same, but I think it's most likely outcome is that he is better in that offense.
Dave Canales was a good hire by that team.
Better offensive line as well. All right, let's get to some stock down. Lawrence, the three names here on your list, Tony Pollard, Gabe Davis, and Justin Fields.
Yeah, and I'll just go straight through with these. First, Tony Pollard here. I mean, it's evident. We saw what Tajay Spears did as a rookie last year. He's explosive when he gets the ball in his hands, especially in the receiving game. That's likely looking like a committee. We just talked about earlier how they're going to use Calvin Ridley like Jamar Chase, which would mean they would use him as an extension of the running game. That doesn't bode well for Pollard, who can catch the ball out of the backfield, but you got a guy in the backfield who could do that as well. I think that offense will be a collective of talent that contributes to that offense there. And next is Gabe Davis. Now, the funny thing about Gabe Davis is his contract would suggest, right, that he's their wide receiver too. But if you look at it a little more, the Jaguars' offense wasn't humming last year. It wasn't the worst offense in the league by any means. But if you're Gabe Davis, it never truly worked out to you becoming that top echelon wide receiver two in the league. So now you get the downgrade in quarterback there. And I still think not only do they have Christian Kirk, you got Evan Ingram, but I still think you got to compete with Zay Jones for targets as well. Like, he's a good receiver when he's healthy. He could play. And the last one I'll talk about here is Justin Fields. This one kind of goes without saying. He'll start out as the backup we kind of figure he'll probably play at some point this season. We just don't know when, because what would Russell Wilson have to do to keep him on the bench? Like, Steelers would have to be somewhere 5-2. Russ has got to be playing at least as well as he did last season, because the first mistake that he makes, the fans are calling for Justin Fields, so he's probably going to be the only backup quarterback that I put in my rankings. So it'll be like 32 quarterbacks. That 33rd guy will be Justin Fields, and you have to find a way to get him in. You just don't know where to play, but obviously the stock is down for now.
Yeah, no question. But I'll tell you, like, I think you see him play week one, because I think they come up with a package of plays. When you think about Arthur Smith, what he likes, you know, in terms of the mobility of Justin Fields, I think there will be a package of plays for Justin Fields where they use him, you know, I was going to say wildcat, but he's obviously quarterback. But you know what I mean? Like, I think they will come in situations, like, I think you could see scenarios where, because I felt like that happened last year in Atlanta, even when Heinicke was, quote, the starter, there'd be, you know, Ritter would come in for a play here or there.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not quite going to be Taysom Hill-ish, but he might have some Taysom Hill type of packages. I feel like he has to be drafted, just because there's a chance that you get to the fantasy playoffs and Justin Fields is the starting quarterback and is, like, in, you know, your rankings, like QB5 in a given
week. Right.
He's definitely getting drafted in two quarterback leagues and best ball, too.
For sure.
Yep. He's definitely getting drafted in those.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're done, fellas. Next week, we'll get into more rankings, touch on any news, talk some more draft.
Yeah. We'll see if Christy goes through with it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's some cold feet, maybe. I don't know. Producer Steven might be standing at the altar hoping she shows up. But
oh, no.
We wish them the best of luck. For Lawrence and Jay, I'm Matthew. Peace out. Much love, Christy and Steven.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.